Welcome, everybody, to the Christian Marauder. So glad you're here today as we continue in episode 23 of our study in Bible prophecy. We are on right now, chapter 18 of the book of Revelations. With that, let's jump into Revelations chapter 18 as we go verse by verse. We're going to jump right in here, hard and heavy. I'm going to look at illustrations. I'm going to look at the symbolism here and expound on these things, probably in a way that a lot of people don't take the time to do. Well, I'm going to take some time to do it. So I hope you're enjoying the study as we jump right into the series right now in this chapter, chapter 18. So Revelations chapter 18, verses 1 and 2 reads this. Out of the New King James. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Notice another angel appears here, not the same angels that were pouring out the bowls of wrath, but another angel. He has great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. So what does it mean by illuminated with his glory? Well, illuminated means to shine, to make evident, to become clear to all, to give understanding, to expose something in its complete raw form, to inform somebody, to simply to illuminate an issue and solve a problem. There's all kinds of definitions for what illuminated means here. But here, it means illumined as make evident, to become clear to all, to expose something and justify its demise. Hallelujah. So God sent this angel with great authority to expose Luciferian illumination, shining a spotlight on evil so it will no longer be able to hide. Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, is the glue that holds the Babylonian system together. We discovered who this is in episode 22 and 21 of this series. And who it is in modernized terms, is the old crone, the grandma, and her two harlots, the mother and the warrior maiden of the Babylonian system, who weaves things together, illuminating the world to become good Babylonian so the Antichrist can arise with ease and waltz right in to rule the world as a Luciferian liberator. Well, the Luciferian or the Babylonian harlot system illuminates the world with occultic light, promising a new liberty where evil becomes good and good evil. This angel here is shining light that exposes its sure absolute demise. Revelations 18 verse 2 says this, "This angel cried mightily with loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and the angel goes on to explain why, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean bird." As we learned from prior episodes, Babylon is the spiritual system that keeps alive this Luciferian dream of ruling all. By drawing God himself into one last conflict on earth in order to defeat God and chop up his rule, his reign, his world, his creation, to build back a new world from the parts of God's old order. This Babylonian system brings together three systems to do this. First, number one, is a spiritual religious system. A one world religion that unites both the number two, the political systems, and number three, the economic systems in order to build back a better Babylon. Like how both Nimrod and Nebuchadnezzar both educated everyone in what it means to be good Babylonians. This is done by canceling one's culture, one's job, one's history, one's identity. In fact, a recent Fox News special was on TV a while back, and it bemoaned the fact that Chicago school systems openly are committed to teach a progressive agenda of dumbing down students to be good leftists at the expense of actually learning. And they brought that out very well. This reminds me of the Babylonian system mentioned in Daniel's day. Back in Daniel's day, it was to Babylonize them and erase and cancel their identity and their culture and their history, and if they can get a job or survive or not. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Do you see any cancel culture going on worldwide today, just by chance, I'm just saying? Tearing down statues? You have the communist group called Antifa, the communist group Black Lives Matter, on the march, unimposed. Nobody tries to stop them. Supported by the Donkey Party and the media in the United States of America and elsewhere, you see them doing this around the world, don't you? Folks, I tell you, it's like the RICO statute of intimidation, racketeering, and silencing of witnesses matters no more in the United States. So you have lawyers and law firms that defendant Trump are now being canceled. They're losing clients and they're stomping the life out of them. So if anyone tries to defend Donald Trump or conservatives or Christians, we see paid minions intimidate and threaten these law firms and people's families and lives that violate the racketeering laws with impunity. So they surround homes and threaten with violence anybody who opposes them, while the media, the mainstream media, yawns and just ignores it. In the United States of America, in fact, Nancy Pelosi put in charge a Marxist, conservative-hating retired general to manage an investigation into the false flag Reichstag incident that happened a few weeks ago. I just wonder, how will that pan out? How will that work out in unifying the nation? Probably will unify them very well. Well, folks, I got to tell you, John warned that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world, isn't it? We actually see it in our political system now, all worldwide. The harlots of Babylon are at work canceling culture, they're canceling livelihoods, smashing hopes and dreams, crying out, you must submit and obey or else we'll crush you. Do you happen to see any of this today? Are you experiencing it? Some of my friends in the media are being canceled and their shows are taken off of Twitter and Facebook because they just want to have a dialogue. We used to live in America where we used to have free speech. Something is amiss here. The Babylonian harlots are at work. Well, this angel shines his light on all this, exposing it, just as verse 3 of Revelation 18, verse 3 says, "For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." That's out of the New King James. Notice it says that the kings of the earth have drunk the wine of her impurities. This refers to the second system, the geopolitical realm of the Babylonian harlot system, how world governments and kings and leaders are seduced to follow a Luciferian agenda to build back better from the parts of the old that they plan to destroy by what is called the Great Reset. The harlots of Babylon over the century lay the bricks to make global world government a reality, because that's what the dream is. That's that second geopolitical system, is to build a global one world government. Well, the Babylonian harlots are working very hard to manipulate laws in order to break other laws. In fact, the United States has a constitution and it guarantees to protect our free speech. In order to get around it, big tech terms of conditions override any free speech laws in the United States. So government can now use big tech to silence free speech and any views that they oppose by labeling it divisive, spreading disinformation and whatnot. Do you see any of that happening lately? They can cancel you. They can crush you if you don't become a good and obedient serf class. Time magazine, in fact, writes in February 4th, 2021 article by Molly Ball, wrote this article called "The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election," and basically admitted doing this. And it's a puff piece for liberalism. They're bragging about doing this. And so I'm going to quote here some selected parts of this article here. And it starts out saying, "There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that curtailed protest and coordinated the resistance from CEOs, resulting in an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. The handshake between business and labor was just one component of a vast cross-partisan campaign." And it goes on to say, "An extraordinary shadow effort dedicated not to the winning of the vote. They got states to change voting systems and laws and help secure hundreds of millions of in public and private funding. They fended off voter suppression lawsuits, created armies of poll workers, and got millions of people to vote by mail for the first time. They successfully pressured social media companies to take a harder line against disinformation and use data-driven strategies to fight viral smears." End quote. I just want to say this, man. I wonder if these people would have let out the information about one of the people running for president and their son's little incident over in the Ukraine, actually ran the truth, would this individual have been elected president? Probably not. Yep, I got to tell you, these narcissists, they certainly like to brag and boast of their success, don't they? They like to tell on themselves. So when the tribulation actually hits us, it will be far worse than anything we're seeing now, because this chapter involves the tribulation period, but it also correlates to what's happening today, as we will soon see. In the meantime, we see the bricks being laid for a globalist takeover of the entire world. Next, in Revelation 18, verse 3, it reveals the third system, the economic system that is used to make everybody into good Babylonians. Revelation 18, verse 3 reads, "And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." In fact, Revelation 18, verse 23 further defines that these merchants are the great men of the earth. These are not your local business people and mom-and-pop shops, but the top elite corporate leaders, the vast majority of the top 1%, top 5%, whatever you want to call them. These are the elite oligarchs. In ancient times, they monopolized trade guilds. Well, today, they monopolize big tech, media industry, big box stores, food supplies, news, arts, entertainment, education, to never deviate against their own narcissistic narrative of creating a fair, equitable world where you own nothing and you're going to be so happy about it that they own it all, you slave. They're seen in the United Nations and the United Nations World Economic Forum spouting off this stuff, also in the World Government Summit, the Interplanetary Fund of the UN. They all spout this stuff. They all come up with the slogan back in 2016 and 17, Build Back Better. It's a buzzword for globalism. I wonder if anybody in that ran for president happened to use that slogan as a buzzword for the Maybe, and I'm just saying, possibly the elites were involved in this system here. Maybe they had something to do with what happened and at the Time magazine article just I read earlier, spoke about. Well, the harlots of Babylon create an economic system in order to finance and manipulate the push for one world government to manifest by hook or by crook. They certainly know that pushing social justice and climate change and Marxist ideas are going to hurt their own corporations and their own business, but they simply do not care. Why? Because it is all about putting out of business their economic rivals, to get rid of small business and the small merchants and the small banks. How? By forcing them to support issues like climate change, social justice, Marxism, and through intimidation so competitors cannot compete and must shut down. I wouldn't doubt they would use a pandemic about this, would you? I mean, do you think there are people that nefarious that would use a pandemic to shut down small businesses? I don't know. You tell me. Even though such policies hurt them, they are not worried at all. These corporations, these monopolies are not worried. Why? Because they are in the club. Because through such policies and pandemics, they can corner the market where all must buy and sell only through them in the box stores. That is the Babylonian economic system in an easy-to-understand nutshell that you can wrap your head around. By this, they can control governments with their massive amount of wealth they'll end up making, because no one else can buy or sell. They'll implement laws and policies that are part of the unseen hand of every government in the world, all held together by their Luciferian Babylonian occultist religious system that seeks to build back a better Babylon better. Folks, that's a mouthful. In fact, they are also guided by the Babylonian harlots to alter what it means to be human, to redefine what beauty is, to redefine the human genome, to make business out of it, to make money off of it, and promote DNA CRISPR technology, altering of foods. They want to have designer babies. They want AI implants to ensure long life. They want to change laws to justify perversion as the new norms. Look for ways to force compliance for this reason, to identify potential problems and crush the opposition so in the end they can run it all, control it all, enforced with government in bed with this conglomerate oligarchy, a monopolized corporation. Their ideas are all Luciferian, where they say they have no need for God. They need to overthrow God. They need to get rid of God out of the system so people can enjoy their new illumination of total freedom. They want to build back a better, more sustainable and equitable world, meaning more sustainable for them and more equitable amongst themselves, dividing up the spoils. As for the common man or woman like you or me, not so much. Surf, shut up, and obey. This Babylonian enlightenment comes before the tribulation through these great merchants who tell us the Green New Deal is good. Like Bill Gates says now, don't eat meat, Eat plant-based protein solids. That's good for you. In the name of the AOC cow genocide program that's on the table now, because cows make too much methane gas, and we need to cut the carbon footprint down. This Babylonian control of the economy seeks to Babylonize the world, to liberate it under total control, to eliminate competition so they gain ever-increasing amounts of wealth and increasing amounts of power to rule over governments of the world. They use the economy as a weapon to gain control, to force conformity, all under the disguise that this is done to promote fairness, tolerance, love, liberty. But these do not apply to anyone that they hate or oppose them, because you don't have those. They're not very tolerant or loving towards you, which proves them a hypocrite. But I digress. For example, there's an article out in the Family Human Rights Office that says this, and I quote from that article. It's online there. It says the UN Human Rights Office prepares global LGBT hate group backlist by Stefano Denaria, J.D., February 12, 2021, and I quote, just sections of it here. Politicians, religious leaders, and organizations from around the world who defend life and family will likely be put on a blacklist by the UN Office for Human Rights. The drastic new measures may be used to impose sanctions on pro-family advocates and expose them to terrorist attacks. Ah, how kind, how tolerant and loving that is. I digress. I go back to the article and I quote again. Who are the main actors who argue that the defenders of human rights of LGBT individuals are furthering a so-called gender ideology? Reads a call for inputs from the UN Rights Office published last month, primarily to address groups. In the broadly worded prompt, the UN Rights Office asks for examples of public expressions or statements by political and or religious leaders who challenge LGBT rights. The UN Rights Office calls for input degenerates of defenders of life and family who dispute gender ideology and as conspiracy theorists. It gives for granted that gender theory is not an ideology, but an unquestionable truth. The meanings attached to sex and gender are socially constructed, it claims. And the article goes on and says, in contrast to this true gender theory, it asks for details of the narratives of pro-life and pro-family groups who oppose gender ideology. These narratives, the UN Rights Office claims, are used to fuel violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity and their particular impact on sexual and reproductive rights. UN Rights Office is especially focused on religions of pro-life and pro-family groups, end quote. In other words, they're making blacklists. I pointed out this article for this reason. It's to point out that through treaties, government can move around their own laws and constitutions. Why do they do that? They want to surveil people through private corporate funded groups in order to do so, in order to spy on people and to silence them and give them over to government control and setting a standard through treaty that they're in violation of discrimination so they can shut them down so there will be no dissenting voices. That's how the Babylonian harlot system works, folks. Why do they do that? They want to housebreak the general population through fear and to be in compliant, obedient little serfs. Along with this, did you realize that their sex change clinics for toddlers and children are becoming the hottest new market commodity in business today? Did you realize that baby body parts sold through abortion? And if you mention any of these things, well, they want to silence you. So what happens, folks, is big government gets in bed and orgasmizes with the Babylonian harlot system and gets them all drunk with absolute power. Oh, they just love it. They just... Again, the mother of harlots develops a geopolitical system of a one-size-fits-all world governed by corporate monopolies who seek to build a world governed by tyranny and a one-world leader who controls it all, called their Tammuz. They set the stage. They move the world in that direction, create a one-world groupthink, and war against those that oppose their narcissistic insanity. There's no other way to put it, to be nice. So before the seven-year tribulation actually begins, we will witness the bricks for this being laid. And I got to ask you, are you witnessing anything similar happening right now? Do you see stages working toward that, a silencing of canceling everything that opposes them? Just saying. Well, this Babylonian goal is to alter what it means to be human by brainwashing all with narcissistic self-love, with a do-as-thou-will philosophy, saying, they are all about respect, freedom, liberty for all, but show none for those whom they demonize. I just showed you in that article, their tolerance and their love and concern is, ain't all that. The goal of the Babylon harlots is to teach humanity how to alter its own image by educating the masses and to mother and nurture them so people are thoroughly weaned on a new moral compass pointing to all manner of lawlessness and depravity that redefines what right and what wrong is. And they want to draw them into creating a common language, a groupthink, if you will, that prepares all to be good global serfs who will serve their masters like Klaus Schwab so very well. They're so easily controlled and housebroken with slogans that cancels out what it means to be a human. Are you seeing any of that possibly taking shape today? Besides power, why is all this done? And the answer is simple. The harlots of Babylon blend both political and monopolized economic systems together by their one world religion, so one day they can follow through with their occult hidden plan, as the Bible points out in Revelation 19, verse 19, because this is where it concludes at here. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, that's Jesus, who sat on the horse, and against his army. This system needs a vast amounts of wealth used to move government leaders and kings of the earth and everybody else to bend their knee to achieve this narcissistic vision for world domination. So one day, their champion, the Antichrist, will rise up and to meet God in one final battle. The harlots of Babylon lay the foundation for this to happen. As we get closer to the time of the end, we'll see a worldwide push for United Nations-style one-world government, headed by the great merchant oligarchs of the earth, gaining increasing steam as we move along. Closer and closer we get to the tribulation period. Is there evidence of this, or is this some tin hat conspiracy that I'm talking and spouting here like people will accuse me of? If so, I got to ask you, why did Bill Clinton's Deputy Secretary of State, Strobe Talbott, on his July 20th, 1992, in Time magazine state this? In the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. Why did Congressman Democrat Larry McDonald state this before he was killed in 1983 in the shootdown of Korean Airlines 007? The drive of the Rockefellers and their allies to create a one-world government combining super-capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean conspiracy? Yes, I do. I'm convinced that there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. If this is just a tin hat conspiracy wacko theory, why did Nebraska State Senator Peter Hoagland say this on the radio in 1983? Fundamental Bible-believing people do not have the right to indoctrinate their children in their religious beliefs because we, the state, are preparing them for the year 2000, when America will be part of a one-world global society and their children will not fit in. What did John F. Kennedy say in April 27, 1961? Still seen on his presidential library's webpage, if this is just some tin hat conspiracy here. And I quote, "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic, ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligent, economic, scientific, and political operations. Folks, this harlot system is pushing for the foundation and building blocks to create a one-world geopolitical system so the Antichrist can just step into with ease, without any trouble, and at that moment, things everywhere are going to catastrophically change in milliseconds. It will be so dark, and it'll be a world without hope." With that, let's continue. Revelation 18, verse 4 says out of the New King James, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people, lest you share her sins, lest you receive her plagues." Those same words are spoken in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 8, where it says, "Come out from amongst them, and touch not what is unclean. What part does Christ have with Baal?" That is our call now, and for those in the 7-year tribulation period as well, too. So I got to ask you, do you hear that call to come out from them? being heard in the midst of the majority of Christian pulpits today, or do you just hear crickets? Well, the Bible speaks of a great falling away, doesn't it? Sadly, I got to tell you, mostly crickets are being heard these days. But however, there's a remnant that are being awakened by God to do spiritual battle and make a stand against the foe and to save souls, to get them into the kingdom of God and help people with the illumination from the Lord, exposing the system for how evil it is. So I got to ask, where are you in this? Which are you? Asleep? Are awake in this matter. Let's look at Revelation chapter 18, verse 5. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Verse 5 is very interesting right here. The phrase reached to heaven is translated as piled up to heaven in the NASB. If you do a Greek study on those words, it refers to the laying of bricks. And I find that absolutely fascinating. That's exactly what they did in Nimrod's day. They made bricks and they built a tower to reach heaven, to exalt their throne above God's. They have no need for God so we can build back a better Babylon. That's the idea here. I kept seeing that. Wow. Well, the Babylonian harlots teach the world to make bricks from straw with their cancel culture ideas. Okay, do you get the picture with that? They want to enslave the masses, build this new world order one slow brick at a time. In my opinion, that's something that's being pointed out in that verse that a lot of people miss. Now, maybe not. You decide. Recall that historian Josephus stated that Nimrod slowly moved government into tyranny. Well, today we see the bricks for this being made through the United Nations to move all to gel with globalism's corporate elite oligarchs who are in bed with government. And these oligarchs have a religious system that holds it all together. If you get in their way, they're going to crush you. They're going to intimidate you. They're going to threaten you. They will marginalize you. They'll ostracize you. They'll put you on a blacklist. They'll change the vote. Our civil liberties are threatened by the UN Gender and Climate Police right now, as well as Second Amendment is being threatened by the UN through treaties. Why? This is all done so we can be surveilled by foreign powers to ensure conformity to the narrative by international treaties both now and in the future that overrides all national and nation laws. That will cancel our humanity for the collective good for the benefit of a monopolized elite oligarchy class in bed with government, in bed with this religious system that holds it all together. The harlots of Babylon's purpose is to keep the pagan religious goal alive through the ages, whose end game concerns the drawing of God to earth to conquer him in order to chop up his order and creation from the pieces of the old order, build back a better new world order. That's their idea. Is there evidence of this, folks? And I gotta say, yes, there is. There is a small cadre of top elites who own vast sums of wealth. Many of them think they are part of a royal bloodline destined to rule all, as well as a new initiated elite class who's been pointed out to them by their ascendant masters, those fallen watchers they're in communication with, who then are steeped in the highest forms of Luciferian religion and trained to use its occult secrets to rule the world through economic silent weapons and quiet wars, through all kinds of occult spells and casting, and demoralize people and get their marching orders from it how to do this. These harlots guide this elite class into the dark arts of the occult and initiate others from lower ranks to that hierarchy, so to speak. This is a very hierarchical system. The lower ranks have no clues about the plan of the upper Luciferian elites. They're just simply being used as useful idiots, because the useful idiots can't see that. That sounds stupid to draw God back to do battle so you can overthrow him. Because the Luciferian teaches that there is no God. So the useful idiots just don't see where the top elites are at and what the game plan really is. Not yet. They will eventually in the tribulation period, for sure. These folks are the ones that we read about spirit cooking, sacrificing care at the Bohemian Grove in the Redwoods in California, who dance around the Burning Man celebration in the Nevada desert, gather at Stonehenge in England, who meet in secret enclaves and gardens around the world, and they, every single one of them, revere the triple goddess, the harlot system, the Babylonian harlots, who works behind the scenes through them to win over all humanity, to lead them to first reject God and then fight against God himself in all manner, shape, and form. They speak great swelling of monosyllabic words of emptiness to create a one-world revived pagan pantheistic religious system based upon mixing and blending all other religions together under one occult umbrella of Mother Earth to save the planet. In order to save the planet, they are worshiping the Earth, aren't they? They are all about unity with their ideas, but if you oppose them, it's no unity there. And they view you and I as in the Christianity and anybody who opposes them and conservatives as the greatest threat to be squashed like a bug. So their tolerant, more loving and kind religion and ways of Luciferian can shine. If you don't believe me that they're all about worshiping Mother Earth, did you not know that during Christmas in 2020, last year, that the Vatican openly displayed the worship of Mother Earth and the triple goddess in the Vatican? I just want you to think about that for a second. You even have Biden wanting to get back to the Paris Climate Accord to save the planet. Under the disguise of protecting the planet, the United States of America and the West must become the last, and its citizens suffer under a weight that no nation can bear, but the major polluters like China and other countries just get a free pass. That's part of this worshiping the earth thing. Folks, the harlot-controlled Babylonian system is the dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hated bird of the occult world, and will be seen as we near the end of the days becoming unleashed in full. And before that happens, you'll feel evil encroaching, like many people are reporting now. So by the time the tribulation period starts, it's real intense. Next, in Revelation chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, out of the New King James, it reads, "For her sins," notice it says her, which refers to the one spoken of in Revelation chapter 17, a her, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, "sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. We render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her." Verse 5 and 6 reminds us that God's going to repay. Look at verse 7. "In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am no widow. I will see no sorrow." That verse, I hear very few commentaries really get into depths about. So verse 7 becomes very profound when you apply your knowledge about what you know about the old gods to it. For example, did you know that the triple goddesses, these fallen angels, the harlots of Babylon, call themselves queens, who every one of them seek to bring their lover back out of the abyss somehow? Adonis, Tammuz, Dionysus, Dumuzid. They want to bring somebody out of the abyss. And as Revelation chapter 18, verse 7 says, why? "For in her heart she says, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow." Verse 18 from the New King James reads, "Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will utterly be burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her." Verse 9, "And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning." Notice again in Revelation 17, verses 16 and 18, "The 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." Just remember, folks, that there are 10 economic trade zones that exist right now. They're kingdoms that are gaining vast wealth by these oligarch monopolies, who are pushing for a political system to rule the world based upon Marxist communism blended with super capitalism, which is Italian fascism, so that there will be no competition at all. And they can get wealthy off of this and control the governments with that. These human elites do not realize that the devil and his minions come to deceive so that they can later rob, kill, and destroy everyone who follows them. Next in Revelation 18, verse 7, this starts bringing that point out. "For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be one mind and to give their kingdoms to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled." Again, God puts into their hearts to give their kingdoms to the beast. That is what Luciferian religion seeks, a chance to bring order out of chaos, to defeat God and overthrow his kingdom through chaos, so that they can build back a better one from the pieces of the old. During the tribulation, if you have forgotten, 25% of the world's resources and population have been destroyed during the trumpet judgments. Yet these people do not repent. Why? They've been brainwashed by the harlot system. Why? Because in their philosophy, you got to bring order out of chaos. That is how the upper class Luciferians see it and spin it, so they can turn it over to the Antichrist to carry it out, because he's the one with the magic bow that's going to slay the chaos monster here, just like the ancient creation myth rat on their plan. So what's happening? God's saying, you want this? You got it. Now you're going to experience the devil's deception in full measure to kill, rob, and destroy humanity here. So folks, God's going to give them a dose of this, because they believe in a philosophy that teaches you never let a good crisis go to waste. That is their order out of chaos pipe dream. To them, this is about to be actualized when that happens. Next, all of a sudden, 33% more of the world's resources and the world's populations are destroyed on top of the other 25% during the unleashing of the bowls of wrath, folks. And again, these people do not repent. Why? They're brainwashed by the harlot system to bring order out of chaos. The old creation myth is beginning to take shape here, folks. These leading Luciferian elitists think, we've done it. We altered humanity. And this will either draw God back to earth by altering the human image, and or at least we can attack the last bastion for God on earth called Israel, the nation of Israel. And if God doesn't come back, win, and if he does, their champion, the Antichrist, is destined to defeat God, so they believe. Then they can chop up God's order and build it back out of the chaos. That's how these Luciferian elite oligarchs think. That's what's driving them, folks. Some of them may not even be aware of it because they haven't been initiated to the higher ranks yet. Because, after all, they do teach, never let a good crisis go to waste. But they do not see the setup. That the devil turns on those who use the harlot system, secret knowledge for success and gain to gain power. Next, Revelations 18, verse 9 and 10, says this out of the New King James. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for 1 hour your judgment has come. And I got to just stop here. Look at this. This means these people are going to have their own OIC, I did wrong, we messed up moment. Their new, kinder, gentler version of communism calls for them to burn down the very system that made them great, powerful, rich control freaks. Their own philosophy manifests and it turns against them. They've been hoodwinked. Think about it. Why is explained in Revelation 18, verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. They just burned down the system, baby. Now, where are they going to get their wealth? And they destroyed the very system that they thought that they would use to silence competition and gain all the wealth and power and be able to control the governments of the world. Possibly even think they can control the Antichrist. I don't know. But something happens here, and they have their own OIC, I was wrong moment. They're weeping and gnashing their teeth. So folks, Revelation chapter 18, verse 11 says this, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of chiton wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Stop. Bodies and souls of men. Think of the murder of the unborn. Think of hunting souls like birds, like the occults do people to do to kill people before their time, and to slay them, and slaughter their character, and to cancel their culture, and to cancel their business if they disagree with you. Think of it like that. Verse 18, verse 14 continues. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid are gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of those things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster and all who traveled by ship, sailors, as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" With that, I'm going to stop for a second comment. I mean, they just burned down the system that made them great. They brought it upon themselves. They believed their own Marxist ideology to a T, which calls for their own destruction. They were hoodwinked. Look at what Revelation 17, verse 18 says. "And the woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." And guess who that is? The Babylonian harlots. Revelation 18, verse 19 says, "And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city in which had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." Look at the next scene mentioned in verse 20 here. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." And you go, wow, all this death and destruction, why rejoice? Revelation 17, verse 6 answers this, "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, of whom I saw her. I marveled with great amazement." That's who. You're going to rejoice. There's going to be no more slaying, no more cancel culture, no more intimidation. Wow, I'll be very happy when that day comes. Revelation 18, verse 21 says, "Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea." And the sea here refers to nations, saying, "Thus with violence, the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." Go back to Genesis chapter 6 there, 1 through 5, and the whole earth is filled with violence, okay? Because of the violence that this system creates. In order to create a more fair, equitable world, they got to create a lot of chaos to build back better. They have to destroy the system or burn it down. It's now finally been actualized. So this angel takes up a great stone. This mighty angel takes a great millstone and threw it into the nation, saying, "With violence, that great city will be thrown down." Recall how I talked about that Babylon's, the etymology of the word means mixing confusion and making a babble and making chaos. That's the idea behind the word. And this is done in order to educate the masses and political systems to use hate, malice, and revenge and violence to create as much chaos as possible, because order out of chaos is their goal, in order to build back a better Babylon. And that type of ideology, thankfully, will never be found again. No wonder heaven is shouting glory. Hallelujah. Again, there will be no more World Economic Forum, no Bill Gates, no UN, no Klaus Schwab, no communist, no fascist, no Marxist, no wackos. Wow. Revelations 18, verse 22. "The sound of the harpist, the musicians, the flutists, the trumpeter shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone will not be heard in you anymore." Everything comes crashing down. You got what you strove for. Pure chaos. The devil set you up for a great fall to rob, kill, and finally destroy you. It's been actualized. So you got to ask, why? What does all this mean about harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters, and craftsmen, and all this stuff? Well, let me just tell you why. There's going to be no more propagandists who use arts, media, news, entertainment, who will educate on the glories of evil as the new norm. No more occult-driven craftsmen who build vast amounts of wealth to tear down God's rule and reign in order through chaos to build it back better will ever be found again. The true end of hate and malice has finally arrived. No wonder heaven is shouting glory about this, folks. Verse 23. "The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all nations were deceived." No explanation there. I just went over and over again already. So what does this mean? Well, the mention of the bridegroom actually confuses people who do not grasp the plans of Ephesians chapter 6 crowd of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Which summed up means to bring forth a bridegroom who ascends and rises out of hell or the abyss to his bride, his followers, the elites, who likened themselves to Artemis, the mother, and the old crone, in order to bring the Antichrist champion back to overthrow God so the devil can rule all. So this refers to the Antichrist and what would be and all his followers here, including the Babylonian harlots. The devil's bridegroom and bride are his people, will not be heard anymore. Nor will their religious, economic, and political sorcery ever be heard anymore. We won't hear this garbage anymore. We won't see it manifest. We won't have everything canceled, not everything trying to cancel us, put us out, erase our history, erase who we are as human beings, okay? It's going to be done. It's going to be over. Why? Because as Revelation 18:24 says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Because this Babylonian harlot system that this is talking about, in cahoots with the Antichrist system that's at work in the world now, as well as back then, and will be in the future, contain all the blood of all who are slain on the earth. Get the picture of that. Let your mind roll on that for a minute. That bridegroom and his bride will never be heard from anymore. So amen and shout glory, do a happy dance, whatever it takes. Glorious is going to be that day, folks. Evil is gone. God's people set free so they can return back to the land. And after that, the full jubilee begins when the new heavens and earth arrive, just as the book of Revelation reveals. But that is for another day, as we are right out of time right now, folks. With that, I'm going to roll out the video with my contact info, and I'm going to ask you to please consider helping me out so I can continue making these films and continue teaching the Word of God. As I roll out this film, I'm going to tie up a loose end from episode 23 and clarify something for people, because I don't think I was too clear on it. In algorithm 2, I'm not going to go to details. You need to go back to episode 23 and look at it. Again, just go to near the end of it and read algorithm B there. And it talks about people receiving rewards and escaping judgment. Okay? Well, that is actually found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through, 46 or whatever verse it is. And that talks about the judgment of nations. And there are a lot of commentaries out there, and a lot of people talk about this, that, the other thing. They confuse that with the great white throne judgment. And as I look through it all, the wording is pretty clear. It refers to the time of the first resurrection, if you will, and that happens right in the entry of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where he judged the nations. And their reward is to be able to live in the millennial kingdom. So the algorithm B fits what it says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through the 41, whatever verses they are. And other scholars say, no, that's not true, because the moment Jesus said, that's the white throne judgment. No, it's not. It doesn't appear to be at all. So I just want to clarify that the white throne judgment happens after that. We're going to get there in our study in Revelation, unpack that a lot more. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and roll out the video. My contact information is on the screen. And again, please consider helping me out so I can continue making these films and teaching the Word of God. And you be blessed in Jesus' name.